Father, as we open your word, open our minds and our hearts, as we study this great story, let us see you and what you have for us to take away from it. Let the words that are spoken be yours and give us ears to hear you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I bet this story is one that you learned very early. Some of y'all, long time ago, but very early. About David and Goliath facing the giant. The title of this series is called Five Smooth Stones. I have five. Whenever you see a number in the Bible, don't glaze over it. Numbers are incredibly important to God, and they almost always mean something. David went with five smooth stones. I'm going to give you my opinion of the five smooth stones on the last message 4 weeks from now. You're going to have to come back. But I was amused this week. I ordered these. And on the bag, it said, made in China, of course. But then the next thing, and I find amusement in the funniest things of life, it said, new rocks. I have a surprise for them people. There is no new rock. And if you're going to go into battle against Satan, you better not be going with new rocks. You see, the story of David and Goliath, I believe to be 100% true. And I also believe that God orchestrated it and planned it for you and I. There is no story in the Bible that can have a bigger impact on you once you've accepted Christ like this one can. But it's about perspective. And perspective is everything in your life and mine. And it's everything in this story. And this story, and today, we're going to look at the challenger. Yours is Satan. Mine is Satan. And it's about the perspective we have towards him that will determine whether or not you are effective in defeating him. You see, think of it like this. One of the things that's become very popular in the last couple of years is something called forced perspective photography. As cell phones have gotten much more advanced, then I want to show you a few. It's forced perspective. It's taking something that's not real and making it look real. Show me the next one. Isn't that cute? But you know that's not real, right? The right perspective makes the impossible possible. Now you look at that from a positive perspective, and I'm really glad that you do. But I believe Satan has this poster hanging on his wall. Because if he can get the right perspective from his point of view in your mind, the impossible of defeating you becomes possible. And it is all about your perspective. So if he can twist this around to make you think he can defeat you, then he already did. Go with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to dive in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me set the stage for you. Saul is leading the Israelites, and they are about to take a battle against the Philistines. And this is one of those old school battles where they're going to get one on this hill and one on this hill, and there's a valley in the middle, and we're just going to charge and fight it out, see who comes out the other side. Okay, so get in your head. The Philistines are on one hill. Saul and his army is on the other. And now we're just waiting. We're just waiting. Look at verse 2. So the Philistines have gathered. Saul countered by gathering the Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites face each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then verse 4. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Imagine that dude walking in. And I guarantee you, he was no skinny beanpole. Okay? He was built for battle. I don't know if you saw it, but a number of years ago, they archaeological dig found Gath. And one of the things that they found was a plaque, per se, and it was a monument to Goliath. So he was the dude among dudes in their ranks. He was the one they paid to go see. He was their champion. He was their champion. He comes out. He's over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and a bronze coat, weighing 125 pounds. That dude's got to be built to put that coat on. He also wore bronze leg armor and carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of the spear was heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. I always loved that thought of the old school battles where if you were the man, you were going to go into battle. You always had a dude walking in front of you with a shield to protect you. You have an armor bearer walking ahead of you. Don't let that lose sight as we study this. God's out front. So Goliath, he comes out. And look at verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, and you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the army of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight." And then look at this. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. It's perspective. Okay? They've got the wrong perspective. They see a champion that they don't think they can defeat. Because they got the wrong perspective. Satan has gotten in their head. And we're talking about Saul. Okay? Now, if you don't remember who he is, let me carry you back just a few chapters. The Israeli people decided from the beginning of time up till this point, God had been their king. He was their king, and he used a series of judges that was his mouthpiece, but he was on the throne. And they decided, we don't like this system anymore. We want a man. We want a man to be our king because everybody else has got one. And God said, okay, if that's what you want, Samuel, who was the last judge, God speaks to him and says, give them what they want. That's your first warning. God will give you what you want at times. And let me tell you, some of y'all are old enough to have been through this. If it ain't what He wants, you might think you want it, but you really don't. So they got Saul. This man who was going to be their champion, who was going to lead them. When Saul heard this, he was terrified. You want to follow that guy? If you are following anything but God, you should be terrified. So here we are. Picture this. Here's the Palestinian army, the Philistine army. It's close. Here's the Israeli army. Goliath comes down and he's shouting across the valley, y'all ain't nothing. I bet Satan said that to you before. You ain't nothing. Come out here. You see, Satan's whole toolbox consists of only the ability to change your perspective and get you focused on the wrong thing. Saul is focused on Goliath. Had he been focused on God, he would not be terrified. There will be times in your life when you take your focus off God and you focus on the Goliath that is before you, and you're going to be terrified. You see, Satan has to change your perspective. I want to share with you three things how he does that. And I guarantee you've had every one of them in your life. Number one, Satan will make you question. He will make you question. Look at verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted, taunting across to the Israelis, why are you coming out to fight? That implies that Goliath believes you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. That's what he wants you to believe. Whatever you're facing, whatever the trial, whatever the diagnosis, whatever comes your way, he wants you to question so you begin to believe you don't stand a chance. The second thing he's going to do is condemn you. He's going to condemn you. Because remember, one of the things that he wants us to do is to forget who we are. You are a child of God. of the King. That carries a lot of weight. But Satan wants you to forget that. So he's going to condemn you. He says, I am the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. You will be told by Satan, you're only a servant. See, this idea started at the fall, the beginning, when the snake said to Eve, did God really tell you you couldn't eat from that tree? Did He really tell you that? The questions start planting. And then He's going to condemn you. He doesn't want you to do that because you'll be like Him. Because you're nothing right now. The last thing He's going to do, and this is a good one, this gets all of us, is that Satan is going to strike fear in your heart. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. If you start focusing on Goliath, your perspective is going to get skewed. And I believe one of the hardest things for us is to realize who our armor bearer is out front and just how big and powerful he is. Because sin, which is in all of us, has a way of puffing us up, because that's what Satan wants us to think more of ourselves, and it shrinks God down. And if you can walk out of here today with one thing, I want you to walk out of here with perspective of just how big God is. Because as we go about our lives, we think about God doing this or that. But really the scope of who He is can escape us. I want to share with you something this morning. I heard this in person over 20 years ago, and it changed me completely. And I hope it does the same for you. It's a little bit long, so stay with it and let the analogies sink into you at who God is and just how big He is. And He's going before you. Watch this.
So here's a little perspective that sort of changed my life. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, okay, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. Okay, that didn't seem to move anybody either, so let me try it a different way. Let me just try it just a different way. I thought I might need this, so I brought a golf ball, okay? So all through the evening, this is going to represent Earth, all right? So this is where we are. I need everybody in the building to look as closely as you can and find yourself, okay? And when you've found yourself, I want you to nod your head so that I know you've located you on the Earth, okay? You nodding your head? Okay, you found yourself. If the Earth were a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. That's not 15 feet diameter. Can we blow that up just a hair and maybe give them 15 feet diameter? So here's a little perspective for you, okay? Is this working for anybody? Here we are on the Earth, and that's the sun. It's so big. It's so big, you could put 960,000 Earths inside the sun. So if the Earth were a golf ball and the sun were 15 feet in diameter, you could put 960,000 golf balls inside that 15-foot diameter sun. That's enough golf balls, by the way, because I know that seems like a big number, to fill a school bus with golf balls could fit inside the 15-foot diameter sun, it's a massive star, and it's one of hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy, our cul-de-sac in the neighborhood called the cosmos that God has made. It's huge, and we're worshiping a star-breathing God tonight. But I want to tell you about the second star, okay? Because the second star absolutely wrecked my life. I heard about it when I was a high school student here in Atlanta. One of our youth leaders did a talk, and he mentioned this star. I didn't know how to talk to God for about 2 months after I heard about this star. It's called Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. You can pick your pronunciation. I'm obviously going with Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse is incredible. Here it is in the night sky. I know it doesn't look incredibly ferocious, but it's 427 light years away. So that's 427 times 5.88 trillion miles away from us right now. Draw it in a little closer with the Hubble Space Telescope, and you can start to get a little bit of the feeling of its intensity. But this is the crazy thing about Betelgeuse. Are you ready for this? Betelgeuse is twice the size. Are you ready? You think I'm going to say twice the size of the sun? Oh, no. It's twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun, Betelgeuse is. It's crazy. If the Earth were a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of six Empire State Buildings on top of each other. Now, come on. Have you seen the Empire State Building? I mean, maybe what you're going to need to do is gather the family, get a golf ball, get some plane tickets, and fly up to New York. And you're going to go into Midtown. You're going to take your golf ball and put it on the sidewalk outside the Empire State Building. Don't worry about people thinking you're crazy. They're not even going to notice you in New York. You're going to go across the street. You're going to look up at the Empire State Building and imagine five more Empire State Buildings on top of the Empire State Building. That's Betelgeuse, and that's the Earth, and somewhere you're on it. You could fit 262 trillion Earths inside Betelgeuse. So if the Earth were a golf ball, that would be enough golf balls to fill up the Superdome with golf balls. 3,000 times. When I heard that as a teenager, that stumped me right there. Because most of my praying had been advising God, correcting God, suggesting things to God, drawing diagrams for God, reviewing things with God, counseling God. The third star, can you go a little bit bigger with me? The third star is called Musifi. Here it is in the night sky. It's that gold star to the top left. We have the big image of it. It's 3,000 light years away, but I just want you to see it in the span of all these little glittering stars so that you know that at times when you look up at night, it is not just twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I'm telling you what you are. What you are is intense and huge and massive and ferocious is what you are. And this one used to be called Herschel's Garnet Star. Check it out. If the Earth were a golf ball, Musifi would be the width of two Golden Gate bridges end to end. Apparently, you're going to need to go from New York to the West Coast. Go to San Francisco with your family and your golf ball. Place your golf ball at the beginning of the Golden Gate Bridge. Go across the bay into Oakland to a high place where you can see the entire Golden Gate Bridge. Another second Golden Gate Bridge will be in your imagination. Span all the way back the two Golden Gate Bridges to the very beginning and find your golf ball over there. That's the Earth, and somewhere you're on it, one of the stars in the Milky Way galaxy. It's so big you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. Thank you so much. Where have you been all night? Now, quadrillion we have not talked about, and I need to explain this just briefly because I don't know about you, but I do not understand the national debt or any numbers bigger than about $875.28. I get that number. Go bigger than that, I don't know. But you need to understand a quadrillion, okay, because this star is crazy big. A quadrillion, let's do it this way. Everybody knows a million, right? How many know what a million is? You can kind of get your head around a million. Everybody? All right. You know that a billion is 1,000 million, and a trillion is 1,000 billion, and a quadrillion is 1,000 trillion, right? Everybody knew that? Here's the perspective. This changed my life, right? a million seconds ago, 12 days ago. Isn't that cool? See, that saves you doing that on your little calculator at home, which I dare you to try to do when you get home tonight. But a billion seconds ago, you're thinking, oh my goodness, if it's 12 days ago, I'm going all the way back to like September with you, Louie. This must be crazy, right? How about May 1975 is a billion seconds ago? You're like, whoa, that's a little bit bigger than a million. Oh yeah. A trillion seconds ago, you're like, uh-huh, I'm on the 1800s. No. Christopher Columbus? No. 29,700 BC is a trillion seconds ago. A quadrillion seconds ago, 30,800,000 years ago is a quadrillion seconds ago. We're talking about a really large number, and Mousifi is so big, you could put 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. But it is not even the biggest star we have found. I love science. And science has just brought us the largest star they found. It's called, are you ready for this? Canis Majoris. Now, I'm no linguist, but that's a cool name for the biggest star we've found so far. I think that means the big dog star, and that's exactly what it is. I bring it to you as a little bitty purple, you know, glow just to the right of center there. But Canis Majoris, oh, wow. If the Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. Thank you. You just saved your family plane fare from California to Kathmandu, Nepal. Almost 6 miles above sea level, the highest point on the planet, and I just dare you to get up there and unzip the parka and pull out your golf ball. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside Canis Majoris. That's enough Earths, if the Earth were a golf ball, to cover the entire state of Texas in golf balls 22 inches deep. You see the one you're on? Maybe this will help a little bit more. This absolutely blew my mind. Just a little journey through our solar system. Everyone knows our planets and sort of how we fit in to the story here. You see really quickly that we're not even the biggest deal in our own solar system, but as Earth comes by, you have to know tonight that we are living on a privileged planet. Anyone would tell you we're living at one of the most special places, if not the most special place in all of creation. But Neptune comes by and Saturn and then Jupiter, and you're like, okay, we're not all that big, even in our own little cul-de-sac. Now just notice the blue dot fading away is not the Earth. That's Neptune. The Earth has gotten too small to see anymore. Sirius comes by. Little plug for satellite radio. Not the biggest star, but the brightest star that we have found so far. Pollux, which we didn't mention. Arcturus. Such a beautifully named one, Regal. But then the one that messed me up. Our third star, Mousifi. Mousifi's cousin, Wusifi. And do you know that you couldn't come up here right now with a Sharpie and make a mark on the screen that would approximate the size of our sun? You couldn't even do it. When you look at these and their relative size, we just have to put a little arrow over there that says, if you could put the sun on here, which you can't, it would go somewhere about here. And can you hang on that for me? And when you see this, I don't know what happens to you, but I'll tell you what happens to me. A shrinking feeling comes over me, and it's not a bad shrinking feeling. It's a good shrinking feeling. Because sin, it has a way of shrinking God down in our minds and puffing us up in our own estimation. But just a glance into the universe that God has made resizes everything in a heartbeat. And you realize tonight we are worshiping an unrivaled, uncontested God of all kind of might and power and glory and awe who is, there's none like Him anywhere in all of creation tonight.
With that in mind, listen to this. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. Whatever Goliath is on the hill across from you doesn't stand a chance if your perspective is in focus. Here's how I want to end this morning. With that perspective of God, of who He is, and He's personally going ahead of you in every step of your life, I want us to close this morning by simply worshiping Him. I'm going to play a song. You probably don't know it. Some of you will. But I want to get it stuck in your head. For those times when Goliath comes down from the hill on the other side and starts taunting you, and you have the overwhelming sense to be afraid and to cower in fear, remember the God who's going personally ahead of you. Stand with me and let's worship Him. week taunting you, tell him what you believe. Pray with me. Father, take us from this room and use us to glorify you. And keep us reminded of who you are. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.